There's a very fine balance between delegation and dumping. But John, is it John? Paul. John Paul. Oh, there's a Ringo as well somewhere then. Paul. Paul came out to share a word, and basically, apparently, it was the same sort of sense of what God is saying, the encouragement to go press in and see him. Do you want to come and just, in your own words, that would be really good.
Yeah, what I sense Holy Spirit saying is this is a time to prepare our hearts. As Ezra went back to Israel, you know, during after the time of captivity in Babylon, he prepared his heart, and he prepared the people's hearts as well. And I just sense the Holy Spirit saying, it's not the time to focus on who's hurt us, on our hearts, or what's wrong with the church. This is a time to prepare our hearts, to make a way for the Lord to come, because he doesn't want us to focus on those things. And it's a time to forgive others as well. So, you know, some of us are waiting for other people to say sorry to us or something like that. But it is a time to forgive. I really sense that. We can only do that by the grace of God working in our lives. It's so hard to step out and forgive someone who's wronged you or wronged me. But we can only do it by the grace of God. And the Lord's saying this is a time to prepare our hearts, because he wants to come in power and in authority by his Spirit. And it can only do that as we prepare ourselves for what he wants to do. And our focus needs to be on him, because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen.
Paul, would you pray for us?
Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you that you are the mighty God. Thank you, Lord, that when you were on the cross, Lord, you said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. You're accomplishing a great redemption at that time, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to prepare our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Give us your grace, O God, to prepare our hearts, to make room, to make way for you, Lord. Not to make way for our hurts or anything like that, or to speak about what has wronged us or who has wronged us. But I just pray that you would help us to lift our hearts again in praise to you and in worship, and that, Lord, you'd fill us with expectation and hope by your Holy Spirit, for you're the mighty God. And, Lord, this morning I just pray as Jeff speaks that, Lord, I just thank you that he's already prepared his heart to speak to us. And I just pray that by your Spirit you would touch everyone here, that you'd speak to every person here. By your Spirit, in Jesus' name, and help us to apply the word we hear. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you. Wow. Just a sense of God on the house this morning, in a good way, really nice, lovely way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Not sure this will be in the right place, but we'll try. Jubilee is a very interesting biblical concept. And I'm with you again next week. And I plan to bring some sort of teaching insight into Jubilee, what Jubilee is all about. And when we first came and we heard that this was your 50th year, my sense was it was a great year to celebrate freedom. And Jubilee is about celebrating what God has done. But it's also clearing the decks, if you like, in order for God to move again. And so it's a day or a weekend of celebration, honoring the past, honoring all of that gone before. Last week at CLC, I spoke about generational legacy, and you can pick it up on CLC online. And You'll see them giving me a big birthday cake, which was wonderful. Trouble is, I had to share it with the rest of the church, which wasn't so good. But I don't want us to think that we're having Jubilee and therefore, wow, we're celebrating, everything is all right, because Jubilee is about dealing with the things that are not right. It's about leveling off the ground again.
Yes.
And so that sowing into for the next 50 years.
Yes.
And so it's a great principle. It's a great opportunity to reset and to go forward. And so please do. We want to celebrate. We want to honor everybody that's had an input into this church, because it's good to honor the generations that have gone before. We're only here in this building because of what generations who've gone before have done. We need to honor that. And we need to say thank you, Lord, for these people and pray blessings upon them. And, you know, in many ways, they are our fathers in the faith and our mothers in the faith. And we are to honor our father and our mother that we might live long in the land.
Amen.
And that's a principle, not just of our biological parents, but also of our spiritual parents as well. And so I'll leave that with you. And we're going to spend the next 12 months, I say we, Family Church Billings will be celebrating for the next 12 months Jubilee. Okay. And so it's a one-off. It's a bit like salvation, really. Salvation is a one-off event.
Yes.
But it leads to a process. I say it's a crisis that leads to a process. A crisis is not, oh, everything's gone wrong. It's a moment in time when something happens.
Yes.
And so Jubilee is a moment in time, a day, a weekend, when we do something to celebrate everything God has done to bring us here, the faithfulness of God. What a faithful God he is. And then in the faithfulness of God, to honor him and to sow for his kingdom in the future. So we're all in that process, and hopefully what I've been bringing from Nehemiah is also helping to bring a bit of an insight in what it is to rebuild. To rebuild. And so really that's what we're doing. We're looking to gain some wisdom and insight in how to build strength back into Family Church Billings. Because at the end of the day, it's the Lord who is our strength. He is the one that empowers us. It's his spirit within us. And we can get depressed. But can I just say faith? Faith is the greatest antidote to depression. Seeing who God is, beginning to worship him.
Yeah.
You see, trying to lift yourself out of depression is trying to like lift yourself up in a bucket. Don't know if you've ever tried that. Doesn't work. My gran said to me, Jeff, stand it, because we used to wash the floor with buckets in the old days, metal ones. Jeff, stand in the bucket and see how strong you are. So, little boy, yes, gran, stood in the bucket. I'm not strong enough, Gran, trying to pull myself up with the handle. The same Gran, because my sister had curly hair, right? And I wanted curly hair. And she said, well, Jeff, it's curly at the back. She said, if you stand in the mirror with your back to the mirror and turn around quickly, you'll see them. I was like a dog chasing his tail, you know. I love my gran. She was a Christian, by the way, and through her prayers, I think my life was saved. I was 34 before I got saved, and I inherited her Bible from my mum and all the underlinings in her Bible. Oh, my goodness me. They're the ones I would underline as well, and my heart leaps. When that generation, clearly Graham was praying for me. That's wonderful. This is really... Is this okay, this mic? So rebuilding. Rebuilding means there was something here and we're building on it. We're building something. And I love the fact that I'm an engineer and I love the chance to have a look at something and not criticize it, but possibly see its strengths and its weaknesses so we can deal with the weaknesses and build on the strengths. My dad and I used to race sidecars with my dad. He would be the driver and I would be the monkey climbing all over the jolly thing. And he had a garage business and he was an incredible engineer, designer. And he would design his own outfits and I would help him build them and then we'd race them together. And every year we would look at it, the end of the year, and we'd be making improvements. We'd be looking at and saying, this could be improved, that could be shaped a bit better, or that sort of thing. And if you're a Formula One, they call them upgrades these days. Bring the latest upgrade. Well, let's see what the latest upgrade can be for CLC. Well, it needs it. For Billinge. Don't you tell Craig that. What are the latest upgrades? How is it that we can strengthen ourselves in the Lord? Because that's what the Bible says. Encourage each other. Strengthen each other. You know, God is the ultimate, as James said, omniscient, omnipotent. And he is all of these things. Would it be better if I use a hand mic? Is that better? Terrible. When's that grammar school? Birkenhead Institute Grammar School. It's closed now, demolished. But we had a history teacher that was deaf. And we'd... No, that's terrible. Lord... And he'd turn his hearing aid up to, please, sir! Lord, repentance is good for the soul. But what is, looking at design, what is the design purpose of the church? In other words, why are we here? You know, Nehemiah went round on his donkey when he arrived in Jerusalem. He went round and he looked at what was wrong. He found out what was needed to address. But he needed to know why the walls were built in the first place. To defend, to keep the enemy out. And so he wasn't just going to build a little wooden fence. He was going to build a strong wall. And so we need to see what it is. How can we build strength? And how can we be truly the body of Christ on earth? That's a big calling, to represent Christ. Now we have the word represent. I like to say we represent. Because the works I do, you will do also, Jesus said. These signs shall follow those that believe, Jesus said. The same works that I do, you will do also, and greater works, because I go to the Father. Jesus said. So we need to catch hold of something in our spirits that will lift us to the place where we are representing Christ. If we are his body, then his body on earth today should look like his body on earth was when he was walking on earth. Full of love, full of compassion, full of grace, full of mercy. But full of the power of the Holy Spirit. The old visionaries for church planting would say, what is the purpose of the church? And they would say, to know God and to make him known. To know God and to make him known. And you know, there's several words for knowledge in the Bible. One is head knowledge. One is emotional knowledge. One is revelation knowledge. And the other is experiential knowledge. And in John 17:3, Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that you might know him and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." And that is the word gnosko. It's, most people know that a little bit, probably. It's the same word. It's intimate knowledge. It's not the same word that was used when Jesus said to Peter, "Flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father who is in heaven." That's revelation knowledge. That's eido, E-I-D-O, revelation knowledge. Knowledge given by the Holy Spirit. But to know God in John 17:3 is gnosko, and it's the same intimate, as far as intimate you can be, and it's the same word used when a husband and a wife come together in the most intimate act of their relationship. Do you know about Jesus through Bible study, through knowledge? You know, you can go to Bible college. You can go to university and get a theology degree and yet not know Jesus. The woman at the well, she knew Jesus because she'd met him for herself. The woman whose tears washed his feet and whose hair dried those feet, she knew Jesus by experience. Do we spend time in his face, in his presence, just worshiping him? I'm not going to get through this word today. On Friday night, we were invited to a Filipino youth camp. And this is a group we used to do a lot with Filipinos in London. And we were invited into the network around here. It's down to Derby, Liverpool, St. Helens, and places all over. And it was a youth night. And they asked me as to go and speak on the Holy Spirit, really. But the worship time was immense. Was immense. Just young people. 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old in the band, just bringing the presence of God down. And then one of the young girls, 13 years of age, one of the pastor's daughters, she was just sitting down. Everybody was standing. She was sitting down on the floor. Somebody handed her a microphone, and she started to worship. I was undone. I was undone with the presence of God that just fell in the room, because there was a young 13-year-old girl who knew what it was to sit face to face with Father and to worship him. And what she carried came on the room. I don't know whether she would now sit for a theological degree and pass it. But I tell you what, I want to spend time with that young girl. It wasn't just one song. We need to try and be around the people that we want to be like. That's important. People gathered to Jesus. 12 of them in particular. And you know what happened when they were out and being victimized for preaching the gospel? the people said about them, these are just ordinary people. Uneducated people. But we know that they have been with Jesus. Spend time, clearly spend time in the Word of God. But not that you might know about him, but spend time in his presence, that you will become the aroma of Christ, that you will carry something of his presence. Intimacy, I don't want to go too far into this, intimacy is the area in which reproduction takes place. Jesus said, come unto me and I will make you. Spending time with Jesus in those intimate places will help you to be the person that he wants you to be, and you can represent him wherever you go. Another scripture that came to me while I was preparing for this was Luke 6, 45. It says, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. We know that. We don't have to spend time with people for long to know what's in their heart. You just hear what they say. And when our hearts are filled with love, God's love and God's grace, God's mercy, God's truth, God's passion for people, with his forgiveness, already we've heard that when he hung on the cross, he said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Yeah. You know, sometimes we don't know the backstory of why people speak to us like they do. We don't know the hurt and the pain that they are living through. And we just happen to be the release point for that. And that's why, as Christians, as people who represent Jesus, we can absorb that. Maturity can absorb the moment and process it for the future, whereas children want instant response. Well, out of the innermost being, what is flowing from you? If it doesn't flow in, it can't flow out. In John 7, they've been going through the last great feast. And for 7 days, water had been sprinkled, taken from the pool of Siloam, sprinkled on the altar by the priests. 7 days, and then the last day, 7 more times. And in that meeting on the 7th day, Jesus stood up and he said, if anyone is thirsty, folks, what was in the old covenant did not satisfy the thirst of the Spirit. Hello? Yeah. Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, in other words, the processes of what we've celebrated for what's happened in the past in the wilderness, it's not going to satisfy the very core of your being. He said, if Psalm 7:37, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And this he spoke. He said, for out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Yes. Refreshment. He said, this he spoke of the Spirit, who could not yet be given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. You see, the Spirit couldn't be given before the cross. Holy Spirit can't come upon unclean vessels. It needed the cross and the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from our sin, to make us fit for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. if you feel a lack of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, if you feel a lack of the presence of the living God in you and flowing through you, just go back to the cross. Say, Lord, here I am again. Bringing my life to you again. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you died on the cross to cleanse me, to give me an eternity with you. But Lord, I want more than that. Wow. I want to be your representative here on earth. I want your life represented through me. And I can't do that in my own strength. I just need you to fill me with your Holy Spirit to produce your life in me that it might flow through me. Spend time in his face. Spend time in his presence and let him speak to you over those weeks, over those things. We're supposed to be looking at Nehemiah. In the last couple of weeks, I've talked about being not deterred. When you look at the problems, the word came. Don't be deterred. Don't let the problems deter you from progress, but be determined to press on. The Apostle Paul said, I press forward, I lean forward, I press in to all that God has got for me, leaving behind those things. Because those things can't help in the future. I did say we're not exempt difficulties, but we are equipped to deal with them. Because we have the Word. We have the Spirit. And when the Word and the Spirit are flowing together in our lives, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can do all things. Doesn't mean I can fly. That's not my design purpose. I can do all things that God has called me to do, which is to love him and to love people. To know him and to make him known. Nehemiah was not diverted. He was not discouraged because he had one thing on his mind. One thing on his mind. And that was for the good hand of the Lord is upon us. That's what he said. Do you remember that? Read Nehemiah 1 and 2 and 3. The key thing that kept him going. He said, we will not be deterred. We will not be discouraged. We will build this wall because the good hand of the Lord is upon us. And I declared that over Family Church Billinge a couple of weeks ago. You see, God has never left you. He's never forsaken you. The good hand of the Lord is upon you. Yeah. Can you declare that? Amen. The good hand of the Lord is upon us. Can we say that? The good hand of the Lord is upon us. The good hand of the Lord is upon us. Yeah. If you can't confess that, then read your Bible. And see that nothing, absolutely nothing will take you from his hand. Yeah. That's what my Bible tells me. You see, we have to believe the Bible, not our circumstances. Yeah. Not our feelings. You see, our feelings can change because of our circumstances. And can I just say, your feelings will be governed by your revelation of Christ. First of all, it's revelation. And your feelings have to follow faith. And if feelings are leading you, then you'll be going all over. I feel good today. I don't feel good today. Oh, I feel like I should stay in bed all day today. Anybody had that feeling? I did this morning. But I got up at 6 o'clock, pressed into God, allowed him to press into me. The good hand of the Lord is upon us. Let me tell you why I believe that. Because you're his church. You're his church. Circumstances do not take you away from being his church, his body. You're his beloved. Has God said he doesn't love you anymore? And the answer is, no, Jeff, he hasn't. You're his bride being prepared. Wow. Wow. Filled with the Spirit, called for a purpose. Can I just say that being a Christian is not a destination? It's not a destination. A destination is where we finish. I think becoming a Christian is the start. It's a start of an exciting life in the presence of the living God. Walking with Jesus every day. 46 years now. I've got so much more to learn about him. I sit in my study and I've got books and books and books and books, and sometimes I get intimidated by all the knowledge in those books that I don't know. Do you know how I deal with that? I go down, make a cup of tea. But before I do that, I pick my guitar off the wall and I just worship the Lord. I don't know what the neighbors think of it, but I know what God thinks of it, because I come out of there on fire, because I seek his face. Nehemiah chapter 3. In the beginning, we will get there. I hope we'll get there. We will get there. As long as you've brought your sleeping bags, we'll get there. What time are we supposed to finish?
2 hours.
What time? 12:30, did you say? 12:15. Any advance on 12:15? Okay, I need to honor that, and we will. Nehemiah chapter 3 is one of those challenging chapters where there's so many Hebrew names that I get other people to read them. Let's just try and read the first five verses. If you're a Hebrew scholar here, please forgive me to start off with. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brothers, the priests, and they built the sheep gate. These are now in the process of rebuilding. They've seen what's needed to be done, and they've started to build. They consecrated it and set its doors. They consecrated it as far as the Tower of the Hundred, as far as the Tower of Hananel. And the next to him, the men of Jericho built, and next to them, Zachar, the sons of Imri, built. The sons of Hasanah built the fish gate. They laid its beams and set its doors, its bolts, its bars. The next to them, Meremoth, the son of Uriah, son of Hazok, repaired. And next to him, Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, son of him, repaired. And next to Zadok, the son of Bana, repaired. And next to them, the Tekoites repaired. And their nobles would not stoop to serve the Lord. These people got a hold of the vision, and irrespective of what their roles had been before, they set to rebuild. And if you read the whole of that chapter, you will see that no matter who it was, they built, except for the nobles. Except for the nobles who felt too proud or too superior not to get involved. I hope we don't have any of those people in the congregation here. But the things that speak to me about the whole of that chapter, and it's so long we can't read it all, but please do read it. There was a willingness. There was a willingness to press forward. I pray God there's a willingness in the church to press forward. There's a willingness. Willingness to let go of the past and press into what God has got for you. There was cooperation. There was a togetherness. And in Scripture, there's so many times that the word together is used. We're built together, we're raised together, we're seated together. We're called to maintain the unity and the bond of peace. You see, as one, we've been called together as one in Jesus. The only thing that separates us is ourselves. Hello? You can't build greater unity because we're made one in Christ. What you can do is decrease disunity. Think about that, guys. Think about that. Because Christ has made us one. If I'm in Christ, you're in Christ, we're one together. And the only thing that would separate us is the differences in our humanity and our unwillingness to be friends, to be co-laborers with Christ. You can't build greater unity, but you can deal with disunity. Determination. Humility. Except for the nobles, of course. And then adaptability. I think that's a wonderful word, adaptability. Because if we read on in that chapter, we come to the end of the chapter, and it says that some of these people were merchants and goldsmiths. Merchants and goldsmiths. Goldsmiths that deal with all the gold. But I'm just thinking about people who deal with intricate things. And here they are carrying these big lumps of masonry. We built a 500-seater church in Livingston in Scotland from ground zero when we went up there in 1992. And 92, 93 we started, 94 we built it, 96 we added the extension. And I was the pastor. I was the visionary for the building. I was a hod carrier for the brickies, climbing all over the scaffolding, carrying all their bricks. And one day the brickie said to me, "Wouldn't you think the minister would come here, see what's going on?" I said, "He's been here every day." Several Scottish expletives followed when I said, "Hi, I'm the pastor." Couldn't believe it. We were adaptable. And then as we built it, we got the brickies to do the outside, but we did all the inside and all the electricity, all the internal walls and everything else. Incredible. The whole church got together. It was a picture of Nehemiah building together. It was amazing. And do you know what happened? When we all worked together, naturally, we got together spiritually. Reminds me of the New Testament church, of which we are one. We are the church, but we're an expression of the church locally. So go into Ephesians 4, knowing your heritage. You should know this from memory, I'm sure. Ephesians 4:11, the fivefold ministries. These are different ministries. These are like different people coming together to build the wall. God has given particular people gifts and callings to help people build the church. And he gave some apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Who is the ministry team in this church? If you're in the ministry team of this church, will you stand up, please? Can I just say, every single person in this room should be standing. Trick question. You, please sit down. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, we have a concept of church being, oh, here's the pastor, here's the evangelist, here's the teacher, here's the this, here's that. Oh, they are the ministry team. That's the worship team. We are the worship team. Yes. These are the musicians. Yeah. Hello? Yeah. We are the ministry team. Uh-huh. The teachers are to equip the body for the work of the ministry. I think that's exciting. And when we all get a hold of that, the wall gets built. The church gets built. The kingdom gets built. And the people around you are impacted because the glory of the Lord fills the house. For the building up of the body until we all attain the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, personhood now, probably, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The role of the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers is to equip the church, everybody building, until we all come to represent Christ on earth as his body. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by the craftiness of deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, within each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. That's the calling of the church. God has empowered different people to do different roles at different times. Over the years, I see my role has changed. My heart has always been for the church, to see the church fully representing Jesus. He makes the whole body. We are his workmanship. He wants to work in us so he can work through us. Unity, willingness, all of those things. You see, Pentecost was like that. If you read Pentecost, Acts 2, they were all together, in one place. They'd been praying. They'd been fasting. They'd been seeking the face of God together, in unity, with a purpose. They were also obedient because Jesus had said, do not leave, but stay in Jerusalem until you receive the promise. In those conditions of unity, obedience, faith, expectation, that's where the Holy Spirit fills. And the Holy Spirit is given to empower us to represent Christ, to build the church. They were together in one place physically, but they were together in heart, in purpose, in unity, in prayer, in obedience and expectancy. My prayer is that that's be the heart of Family Church Billinge. Because look what happened when the Holy Spirit fell upon those people. We are here today because they were obedient. Yes? We are. Because through them, the gospel spread. You see, it's one thing thanking Jesus for our salvation. It's another thing honoring the people who've gone before. Even if we don't agree with everything they've said, we are here. We are here. I want to sort of bring it probably around to land it. If we went to verse 29, we would read that above the horse gate, the priest repaired, each one opposite his own house. Can I just say that your ministry starts first of all in your own heart, then in your own house. Then in your own house. You can't be outside your house who you're not inside your house. There's a great quote by Hudson Taylor, who was the founder of the China Inland Mission, now the OMF. Let me read out his quote. Some people say, if only I could go to India or China, I could shine for Jesus. Why, my dear friends, he says, a candle that won't shine in one room is very unlikely to shine in another. If you don't shine at home, if your father and mother, your sister and brother, if the very cat or dog in your house are not the better and happier for you being a Christian, it is a question whether you really are one. Lord, I repent of kicking the cat. What did the cat do when you kicked it? Oh, about 60 miles an hour. No, that's... Any cat lovers, I'm really sorry about that. That's part of my old nature coming through. Lord, suppress it. Forgive me. Forgive me. Holy Spirit, come back. Please come back. Psalm 5, verse 3. Having to miss a bit out here, but Psalm 5, verse 3. I've been talking about seeking the face of God. You see, there is a job to be done. Nehemiah had a job to be done. We have a job to do. Build the church, build the kingdom. But it all comes from knowing first who we are, who he is, who we are in him and who he is in us. Seeking the face and not just the hand of God. Psalm 5, verse 3. Jane highlighted this to me some months ago. Every morning, I lay out the pieces of my life on the altar and wait for your fire to fall upon my heart. That's the Passion Version. Every morning, I lay the pieces of my life on the altar. Lord, I consecrate myself to you. And wait for your fire to fall upon my heart. And that's my prayer for each and every one of us. Lord, help us to lay our lives upon the altar, to become living sacrifices for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Great song. Tried and true. Holy Spirit, would you land on that scripture right now? Lord, every morning, as we lay out the pieces of our lives upon the altar. We wait for the fire to fall upon our hearts. Fill us afresh, Lord, we pray, with the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the blood of the Lamb that cleanses us, that purifies our hearts. We thank you for your word that shapes us. And Holy Spirit, would you come? Bring revelation knowledge. Bring help us to move into intimacy with the Father. That every morning we might seek your face. And in seeking your face, we may lay our lives upon the altar as a living sacrifice to be filled with your Spirit and to live for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you guys. He so loves you. He so loves you.